This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.
Hey, what's going on? It's your girl K-Dot back in the Ripple Effect. You already know what it is and you already know the vibes. Yeah, I know it's been a minute. Don't worry, season 5 still coming out. I just have to keep updating y'all on what's going on and, you know, always got a lot on my mind. Serena Williams might be her last game. I don't know, but I'm watching the U.S. Open. I saw her have that big win against, I think, somebody that was ranked around 80th. But at the end of the day, you just don't know. She is 40 years old. Sad to see her go. I heard it's due to family reasons. It's always a shame, you know, how women have to, you know, make that decision. Family, career, different things of that nature. But shout-outs to her. Because at the end of the day, the way she's impacted sports in general, man or female, she's definitely one of the GOATs. She's amazing. What can I say? An inspiration to all if you want to, you know, see her greatness for what it is. Also on baseball, I've been trying to follow a little baseball. World Series has been crazy, right? I mean, I found myself rooting for different teams, you know, Iowa, Curacao, Hawaii. Whew. Kids are dangerous, man. I could see a couple of those kids probably in the league at some point. But also just watching the Yankees. Aaron Judge, what do you have, like 51 homers now? Good for you, man. Give him his money. What's up with y'all Yankees, man? And what's up with y'all not playing certain players? Like when they had the series between the Yankees and the Mets and DeGrom wasn't pitching. And come on, man. Like as a newly, you know, just getting acclimated to the whole baseball scene, I want to see some star power. But, you know, I'm still getting used to the game. I'll chill. I get it. The Mets are doing really good. You guys have been plagued with injuries for, I don't know, what, decades. So I get it. You guys want to, you know, hold off. But, you know, DeGrom, I'm hearing healthy, right? He seems to be the best in the league, right? So I feel you on that. Dodgers just had their series. They're continuing their series, right? They're up to like 90 wins. Shout out to the LA Dodgers, doing great. Yeah, they're playing the Mets tonight, so I believe they have DeGrom pitching. So, you know, well, going against them rather. So that's gonna be an interesting one. I'm gonna stay tuned. I'm gonna try to watch that and try to make my rounds. But also in pop culture news, I don't know if you guys have seen The House of the Dragon, but already in episode 2, I heard it's already stirring the pot. You know, some people, you know, feeling triggered by the scene already in episode 1. You know, they really pretty much get to it. But one thing I will say is, if you've seen Game of Thrones, you already know they don't mix words. You know, they get at it. They get after the point. You know, I remember when I first started watching Game of Thrones, I was first told, yo, no favorite characters. Expect anything. It's rough. It's crazy. You know, they don't sugarcoat. They're up in your face, you know, crazy. Like, you're gonna see their point. You know what I mean? You just gotta stay with it. They're throwing a lot at you. You can be distracted by a lot of things that are going on. But we are talking about, you know, that time frame. So they're putting you in that, you know, right now. There was no, you know, Me Too movement. There wasn't all this that's going on today, that things that we're trying to learn from and grow from. They weren't at that point yet. So you have to bear with them. I believe just Game of Thrones, just the way everything ended and everything that happened in that series, that really should have been like your disclaimer to be like, you know, anything goes. I mean, if you've seen it, anything goes. It's pretty much that wild. But those who did feel, you know, any type of way towards it, you know, I do empathize and I do want to, you know, hope that, you know, you just stay away from certain things. Certain things are just not for everybody, you know, and as long as you understand that as a person, like, if you've been through some things, Game of Thrones is just probably not for you, because they're going to touch on everything. They make that pretty clear. Like, we're not for people who are still trying to figure stuff out. You know, we're for the people who are pretty much have seen it all and are like somewhat morbid in a way, right? Because some people like that. They like to watch that stuff, you know. So definitely understand what you're watching when you're watching it. But to flip it back to sports real quick, football, 8 days away. I hope you guys are ready. I hope you got your teams ready. Fantasy football, you already know. Everybody's getting crazy with that. Everybody's like, and there's no more like you're in one league. There's some people that are like in 10, 12 leagues. You know, I'll definitely probably jump in a league. I still haven't decided which one just yet. I know some people already got started, and that's cool. But I'm still going to figure that out. I just want to like get right into it because there's just so much. I'm hearing John Gruden, right? I don't know why, but some part of me knew that this was going to come back up. It was going to come up, you know. He wasn't just going to go away quietly after all the emails were found. You know, this dating back to when he was with the, you know, Washington team and, you know, the old name that they have and they're the Commanders now. But it was, you know, the trifecta, you know, right? He hit, you know, it was the racist comments, the misogynistic comments, and the homophobic comments. That's what I call the trifecta. Like, he hit all of them, you know what I mean? It's unfortunate because I know a lot of people like to say, you know, it's a land of second chances, and I am of the belief of second chances, but it doesn't mean they're afforded to everyone and for everything. First of all, I think he's already had a chance at another head coaching job, and I don't think he was that great of a coach in the first place. I mean, enough to be given a second chance, you know, because we already know if you're gifted, right, you're talented, you're more than likely going to get that second chance more than someone else, whether, you know, doesn't really matter the magnitude, right? Because let's face it, this is a business, it's the NFL, you already know how things work. But I just thought his apology was just so bad. So bad. I get it. It's tough to apologize. It's tough to take accountability. It's tough to make yourself vulnerable in front of a lot of people and admit that you said some pretty vile things that affected a lot of people, right? It wasn't just like one person. Like you, like I said, you hit a lot of people, you know, with your words. And I get they were in email, but I mean, who emails stuff like that anyway? You know what I mean? I feel like I'm more inclined to give somebody leeway when they say something because you don't really have a chance to edit that. You know, it's already said, and it's like once I said it, you can't unsay it, right? You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. Like, it's kind of that sort of thing. But I mean, when we do emails, that's supposed to be reread, right? That's, I mean, there's like a formality when it comes to that. Not saying you can't make mistakes, but I mean, when it comes to what the kind of mistakes that we're talking about, what John Gruden did, I mean, I don't know, it was just weird. And then he was like, oh, and I go to church. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, you apologize and you're like, oh, but I go to church. Okay. Am I supposed to feel better about that? Like, and then you start to wonder, did you start going to church after you did this? Or was it you were already going to church and you just didn't take away anything that you learned in church and you still said all that stuff in an email anyway? I don't know. I mean, so if you didn't go to church, that means you shouldn't be given a second chance. I think that's just a weird, I think that's kind of where we are in society, right? And even how there is no more church and state, right? I mean, the lines are getting blurred, as you can see. And at least in, you know, in America where, you know, certain things, probably there shouldn't be much crossover. But I guess he felt the need to bring that up because that's supposed to mean that you're a good person, because it means that just because you go there, it means that you do nothing wrong, or it doesn't mean you can't learn, or it doesn't mean, I don't know. That was just really weird for me personally. But I don't know. But you guys let me know, definitely on social media or whatever outlet. You know, you can reach me on. I want to know your opinion on his apology specifically. You can let me know whether you feel if he deserves a second chance or not. I'm gonna say no. I don't believe he does. But, you know, but if he gets a second chance, I'm not going to necessarily, you know, say anything else about it. It's just my opinion. I just believe if that's the way you feel, for you to be in a leadership position, it's, you know, like, I don't know. You would have to go to some pretty, like, life transformation stuff, you know, and you just telling me that you've, you know, I'm a good dude. I go to church. You don't sound like a good dude if you said all those things in an email. You don't sound like a good person. You just sound like, you know, like a closet racist, you know, you already know how that is, right? Something people are just able to put on the face because you are at work. Let's face it, just because you have fun at your job doesn't mean it's not a job, right? You're supposed to be at work. That means you work with many different people that have many different values, right? They have many different lifestyles, different things of that nature. But when you come to work, all that's not supposed to be kind of just like, you know, like however you feel, it's just supposed to be, you know, put off to the side or just left at the door. And you come to work, right? You come here to work because you're not supposed to bring any bias, right? Or any of your, you know, confirmation bias or any of your, you know, your views that may, you know, offend someone else because you're trying to get a job done. In order to get that job done, you're going to need different point of views. You're going to need different ways of seeing things, different perspectives. But with that being said, so being that you're the leader, you're the head of that organization, you know, in the standpoint of a locker room where there's a lot of people under you, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that, you know, you could have, not could have, you probably did offend, whether if it was them personally or if it was their family member that fits in that category, or, you know, friends, or just you made them feel some type of way, because how could you say that? Like, in an email. But anywho, I just thought that was interesting. So it'd be really nice to hear you guys' thoughts and feelings on that. I thought that was pretty wild, and I get how much he loves football, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't know, I just feel like we're in a weird spot in this country when it comes to a lot of things, and accountability seems to be like push far to the side. You know, it's not even like he got ahead of this and kind of just said he would apologize initially. I mean, all this stuff happened in November. So, I mean, we're almost a year removed from the whole situation, and he decides to apologize. Don't get me wrong, I'm not by any means trying to say that he should have been like really fast with it, because then we would probably would have said, oh, he's not really sorry. He just kind of just said, so. I just mean, yeah, take your time, sure. But I don't know, a year? I don't know. I'm going to say that's a long time to really, you know, unless you told me that you did some like real deep work with the community, with all these different communities to really understand why what I said could have been, you know, would have hurt so many different people. Like, you know what I mean? Like that would have been came up a little differently. And even his delivery wasn't the greatest because he was kind of removing himself from the email as if he didn't write it or that wasn't his view. You know, the emails don't write itself. Obviously, you definitely put pen to paper, or actually, you know, fingers to keys, and you came up with a combination of words that were deemed as, you know, homophobic, racist, and misogynistic. I mean, that's a lot. I mean, this was over quite a long period of time, but at the same time, it's like, come on, man. Which you're trying to be better people as a coach, isn't it your job to bring out the best in someone? How you bring out the best in someone if you haven't even done that with your own self? I don't know. I don't know. But that's how I feel about it. There was just a lot of things that were done too. Even if you want to just talk about strictly as a coach, how he was. I don't know. I just think the coach, the interim coach, forgive me, can't remember his name at the moment, but he did such a terrific job after, you know, I mean, everything that happened with the Raiders. I mean, you know, you can't make that stuff up. Like everything that went on with the Dewey, and you know, and somebody was killed, you know, in that situation, and you have domestic violence, and you have, you know, the coach with the emails, and he just comes right in, you know, and was able to win a couple games, take them to the playoffs. Derek Carr was great. I mean, those are leadership skills, that those are those intangibles that I don't feel like are talked about enough. You know, we'll sit there and harp on like the negative stuff when people do things, but I guess that's why it's like so hard to like, you know, for people or even TV, you know, especially regular media to really, you know, talk about it, because he was just gone. You know, don't get me wrong, if you have the chance to have Josh McDaniels, you know, coach your offense or, you know, coach your team, I get it. I get it. But at the same time, man, I mean, unfortunately, things like that are not rewarded enough, you know? So it's like some people just, I don't know. They just don't put that much emphasis on it, you know, or don't really understand integrity, right? Like, just because there's nobody else around, you know, but still willing to do the right thing, you know? And don't get me wrong, like, we're all human, I get it. And then if you don't, you know, take accountability for that. Understand who you hurt, you know, seeing how you can help. Be, you know, if you're that nice guy that you say you are, and go to church. I mean, where's the community service? Where's the outreach? Where's, you know, I don't know what religion he follows, but, you know, I'm sure there should have been something of that, you know, going on, especially if you want someone to understand that, that you are sorry and you plan on being different going forward. We can't assume that you've learned anything unless we see the change in behavior. And that, you know, kind of, I don't know, like, it wasn't even like a real apology to me. It was just, oh, I'm sorry you guys saw that email. It was, wow, it was crazy. Like, that was bad. I'm not gonna make any, you know, excuses for it, but yet I am gonna point out how everybody makes, you know, mistakes as well, and I deserve a second chance because I'm sure you did, you know, that sort of thing. And that's not really what you want to do when you're apologizing, but you know, that's that. But I did want to discuss sleeper teams, okay? The Raiders, I did bring up, you know what their situation is, especially with Derek Carr. A lot of people saying that he's on the hot seat, you know. There's other quarterbacks out there that probably have way more eyes on them, like Tua, Wentz. I mean, Wentz has already had eyes on him. You know, Baker Mayfield, he's on his revenge tour. Jameis Winston. There's a lot of quarterbacks out here that are really trying to prove themselves. But Derek Carr, you know, you have Devontae Adams. Now, Devontae Adams is coming from Green Bay, you know, where Aaron Rodgers, used to a certain type of style, right? Used to winning, used to those expectations in Green Bay. You already know Lambeau, you already know Field, you know, you know what the expectations are. But still, I mean, with the Raiders, Raider Nation, Josh McDaniels, there's a lot of good things that are happening, a lot of talent. So when you have a lot of talent and you're surrounded by good leadership, great leadership, you know, expectations just go up exponentially. So I'm definitely excited to see what's going on. But anyway, my sleeper teams that y'all need to be watching for, I'm gonna say is the Dolphins. Yes, I'm telling you. I know Tyreek Hill was really putting a lot of pressure on Tua by, you know, saying he's super accurate, and it's like, all right, you're coming from Patrick Mahomes, so you kind of, you know. I get, but you also have to understand that he has a podcast coming out, so I know a lot of things like that people like to hear, and they just want to grab hold to it and kind of take it and run with it. But I like a little context with it. Like, he has a podcast, so what does that mean? That means he wants to bring some traffic towards his podcast. So naturally, you're gonna be more intrigued to hear stuff like that because you're like, wow, Tua is more accurate than, you know, let me tune in, let me hear what else he has to say about that, you know, like that sort of that kind of clickbait sort of thing. Not saying that his podcast isn't good, I've never heard it, but I'm just saying, like, that's how you bring attention to your podcast. Like, as you know me, I'm not really one for that. Maybe those are some things I need to learn, you know, in order to get more traffic. But you know, so I don't really put too much stock in that. So I definitely understand where he's coming from with that. But I do also understand that there's probably some truth in that. That Tua is a lot better than what he's been portrayed to be. Mainly because, you know, look at the situation that he's been in. You already know about the Flores situation. So in the NFL, wrongful treatment. Owner wanted to throw games. I mean, when you're a quarterback in that type of environment and you're young, trying to thrive, trying to get used to the league, get used to a new lifestyle, get used to, you know, grown men, you know, wanting to follow your lead, you know, wanting to run through a wall for you. You know, man, like, how? How? There's no leadership, right? No real leadership. And Flores, I thought I think he's phenomenal. He's one of those coaches that's under the Coach Belichick tree. He is phenomenal. So even just as a person, integrity, everything that he stands for, just a football mind too. I mean, it's a shame. I really hope he gets a coaching job again, even though when you sue your employer, I get how that can be challenging. But at the same time, we have to give Tua the benefit of the doubt here. We do have to understand that he's young, he's growing, he was in a toxic environment, call it what it is. We're saying that with Sunshine, we're saying that with Trevor, right? Down there and it with the Jags. These things need time. They need time to grow. And if they're in an environment that doesn't allow them to do so, we shouldn't be surprised that they're not growing or flourishing the way they should be in terms of winning games, right? And putting up big numbers. Because let's face it, the league is full of amazing quarterbacks. And I think that's why football is where it's at right now, like at its like height, because it's super, super competitive. Because at the quarterback position, it's elite. And these guys are so versatile. It's amazing, right? I mean, I just think if football was like this, like, I mean, the way it is now, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to say it wasn't good, but I mean, the way it is now, if it was like that, like 20 years ago, oh, I would have been a fan years ago. But I get it. Some people are kind of back and forth with it, because especially if you're more of a defensive-minded, and you're like, ah, no, it's softer, it's this, it's that. I mean, same thing what they say with the NBA, right? But when you look at it, I mean, these guys are super talented. Like, you're not just seeing, like, more so the aggressive side. You're more so seeing from a talent athletic standpoint what these guys are doing. It's incredible. But yeah, Dolphins definitely. The Saints, look out for them. Jameis Winston, I think he's had his problems, but you know what? As long as he stays healthy, the growth is there. The maturity is there. He's gonna surprise you guys. He was up there in passing yards too. Like, a lot of people count him out because I think that's why reputation is everything, guys. Like you make a mistake. I mean, he made a mistake in college. I mean, I forget exactly what issue it was, because it was like a few people kind of making, just doing things that are just bringing attention, unnecessary attention to yourself in a negative way. And it's like you're sort of branded with that, no matter what. Because when you look at a lot of quarterbacks out there, you're like, listen, why aren't they getting as much, ridicule as some others, like, or kind of just labeled, right? But not Jameis Winston, he's gonna surprise y'all. I mean, the Saints have a really good defense as well. So it's health is the main thing. Olave, Alvin Kamara, I'm telling you. Saints, watch out, man. Watch out. And for you, all you Jets fans out there, I'm telling you, the Jets are gonna be nice. Zach Wilson, I know there's still question marks with him, and he's young. I think he's gonna do some things that are probably gonna make you like kind of like cringe a little bit. But at the same time, I think he's gonna come on. I think he's gonna come on at the right time. I really liked the way you guys drafted. I like that kid Sauce, man. Gardner, I was so mad because I thought the Giants were gonna get him. But don't get me wrong, the Giants did a solid job too. But I'm not about to put the Giants in the sleeper conversation. I'm not about to do that. Can they surprise you too? I'm sure they will. If there was like a sleeper B, like maybe they'd be in that somewhere in that conversation. But to cap it off, oh, and also don't forget to shout me out, like, on your social medias, and let me know who your sleeper teams are. Doesn't matter the division, doesn't matter where you're going at, but for me, yeah, like, oh, and yeah, and the Eagles. Listen, I hate to admit that, especially in my division, but man, I don't know. To me, the Cowboys did get weaker. I think they're going to have a lot of high expectations, but that's just the nature of the beast, right? When you're America's team. Dak, I like him at the quarterback position, obviously, but Amari Cooper, that was a big loss. Gallup Schwartz, I mean, Not, you know, I don't. CeeDee Lamb's gonna get double coverage. I don't know. And I do understand that Odell Beckham Jr. hasn't decided what team he was gonna land on. So don't be surprised if he somehow ends up on the Cowboys. I mean, just from a marketing standpoint, I mean, but he won't be ready to go until like November, I'm hearing, which is like perfect, right? Because it's right before like the deadline, trade deadline, and everything. So, you know, when teams really see who they are and what they, where they're gonna go from there, whether it's they're gonna start over and just start thinking about next season or, you know, different things of that nature, that's when we'll really start to see where OBJ decides to go. Because if he goes to the Cowboys, man, I'm gonna tell y'all right now, y'all can forget what I said about the Eagles. I mean, don't get me wrong, it was still, they're still gonna be good, they're still gonna be competitive, but I'm just saying, like, that's gonna be crazy. It is gonna be crazy. The Giants, I know, I'm not trying to say I lost faith in Saquon. Like, if you listen to me, like, I don't know, like, probably 10 or so episodes back when I was talking about Saquon, whether the Giants should pay him or keep it moving. Like, what? Listen, this is Saquon's year to prove that not only can he stay healthy, but can he be that impactful runner that he showed us he can be, especially when he was at Penn State, because that's what made us draft him second overall, even though everybody thought we was crazy. I mean, you just don't draft a running back that high. I mean, I think whenever there are certain things done, you can just tell how the market just switches, right? So when Saquon was drafted that high, running back, now running backs, right? You're not gonna see that. You're not. They don't even want to pay them like that, right? Just even if you feel, even if they feel like you've earned it, because when they set you up with that next contract, you have to understand that they're thinking about longevity. They're thinking about what you can do for me within the next 3, 4 years. It's weird because players, they're obviously playing for the until the next contract. They're playing for the next contract. That's what gets you in the conversation of what market you may be looking at. But then a team can hold it against you about what you're projected to do even after that, because you already have the miles on your body. So, I mean, but that's when negotiations comes into play, and that's why you have agents and things of that nature. But that's what makes it really tricky with Lamar Jackson, right? And his situation with the Ravens. Because when you what you need to understand is Lamar Jackson has all the leverage on his side. The season, 8 days away, Lamar Jackson was an MVP, right? He did take them to the playoffs. You have to understand that he did. I mean, when I mean have the team on his back, I mean, who does he have? He does not have the weapons that these other, you know, quarterbacks have, but still able to get the job done. Not complaining, no flashing. It does whatever it takes, listens, no off the field issues, right? I mean, he has everything going for him. So that's why at this point, it's kind of like you got to pay up. And you know who should you should blame for that? Blame the Cleveland Browns for that groundbreaking contract with the 230 guaranteed. That's why I said it's funny, because when the league does something like that, okay, we're giving Deshaun Watson 230 guaranteed, knowing all the civil suits and all this, all the things that are going out there that are not only distractions, right? They're gonna prevent your guy from playing for more than half the season. So with all that understood, and Lamar Jackson's like, wait, I'm the face of the franchise, MVP. Don't ask for all the, you guys just, you know, let my best friend walk away, because obviously we're a run first, we're a different type of team, and you know, and throwing the ball all that much ain't really gonna be our style of football. Cool. Come on, something's gotta give. Something's gotta give. Give Lamar Jackson his money. The fans are still talking about it. They're letting you know, like, Lamar needs his money. He should get his money. He earned his money. There's been tweets out there, just, you know, even with wrong information. They said, oh, the Ravens already offered Lamar $250 million, and he turned it down, guaranteed. And Lamar even had to come out and say, no, they didn't. Straight up, just like that. He didn't have to, but at the same time, some people may go back and forth and say, oh, that's not important. Like, Listen, I think since he doesn't have an agent and he doesn't have other people really speaking on his behalf, it is important for maybe not to put out too much information, but to dismiss any misinformation. I think that was important for him to say, listen, I did not just turn down $250 million. You guys are bugging. Like, that did not happen. That's a non-issue, plain and simple. Like, just kept it moving. Because I'm sure if they did offer him that, that's a done deal. Because I think he's asking more than Deshaun Watson, and he's asking for guaranteed. But you have to understand, once they do that, that once again resets the market. So now the next quarterback that's up has an amazing season. This is what they're going to be asking for. They may even sit out. They may be different from Lamar Jackson, because Lamar Jackson's still talking about playing, and it's like, bro, I get it. You're the man. We got you. You're all heart. You're all about the team. You don't want to just make it about you. You don't want to sit out. But listen, if you don't have that guaranteed money, you need to sit down. It's simple. But I guess he's in strong belief that as long as he holds out and he keeps doing exactly what he's doing, showing up for practice, knowing the plays, showing all the work, and he's even put on some muscle, he's letting them know, like, listen, I'm totally committed. I'm not giving you a reason to not give me this money. I get it. Like, where he's at right now, I totally get it. But week one, without that contract, better not step on the field. That's all I'm saying. I mean, you can call it advice, you can take it what it is. I just think from a business standpoint, because you have to understand that's the way the NFL looks at you. They don't look at you as a person, they look at you as an asset. It's a business decision. They see liabilities and they see assets. That's it. That's it. It's just that simple. So once you understand how all those things work, it just makes sense. You can have your feelings about whether your best, player on the team decides to sit out and you want to call them all these names in the book, but at the end of the day, a lot of these same people won't put that same pressure on the organizations that choose to treat the players however they treat them. So, I mean, I'm all for equal opportunity, It is what it is. It's a business. If you want them to understand it's a business, it definitely goes both ways, especially when you understand how much money these guys are making. Like, they're walking moguls at this point. This is some serious money. But that's why you got to credit the Kansas City Chiefs. They just came out in front and just said, we're offering, Patrick Mahomes all this money, right? But they were smart. It looked like they were giving away a lot of money, but when you're thinking about long term, they're gonna come off cheap. especially if Patrick Mahomes gets them another, championship within that contract too, and you're thinking about it, or even gets an MVP or whatever the case may be, they're coming off cheap because every year the market is definitely getting reset, and they're gonna keep having to pay these guys more. And you can tell that they're starting to move into more of a space where these guys are getting guaranteed money. And for the NFL, that is unheard of. Unheard of. So you have to take all that into consideration and understand where things are going. Because look at Josh Allen, right? He just got paid not too long ago. Like, these guys are not, think about it, like, these organizations have all these people working for them for a reason. They all have jobs, when it comes to understanding money and assets and where the market is moving. The owner don't have to think about all this. They get presented with this stuff, right? But that's why it is important. Like, I get Lamar Jackson, what he's doing, and having his mom as his agent, and it's so respectable in certain respects, but at the same time, you do want somebody on your side that understands the nature of the beast. But at the same time, I do understand why he probably wouldn't want somebody that knows so much about it and that has too many relationships, because maybe you could feel like you're being manipulated. I don't, it's rough. It's rough. Because let's face it, they're young men coming out of college, but so young where it's like, there's no way you can understand all that. No way. No way. No way. Even if you understand a portion of it, there's still such a larger, picture, or it's such a larger, just people just don't understand that at least when I listen to players who've, you know, grown in their career, like the more the veterans, right? Or even when they're past their prime and they're already, you know, doing podcasts, and you sit there and you listen to them, and they always, you know, hindsight's always 20/20, and they always said like, oh, I wish I would have known this, I wish I would have did things this way and that way, and it's hard. So, and that, and they did have an agent, so in that respect it's kind of like, because even Dwayne Wade the other day, I'm all over the place guys, but you already know how I roll. Dwayne Wade even came out and said, oh, I should have never turned down, like he gave up like 15, he said 15 mil, around 15, 20 mil, somewhere in that family, where he was like, oh, when he played in the big three with Bosch and LeBron, he was like, oh, I should have never gave up that money. He's like, I didn't have to do that. He's like, I could have held out for a little more and got that money. And the thing is, he had an agent, and that still happened, right? So at the same time, it's kind of like, I understand both sides of it. I really do. I just really hope that he's doing the right thing. And I'm sure he is too. I'm sure he's just placing his faith in football, just like he was when he was the last one drafted in the first round. And look at where he is in comparison to his other, you know, counterparts in that draft, right? Trying to play for a job and trying to figure their stuff out. Or they're getting beat out of jobs, right? Or they're playing each other for jobs. I'm talking about the Panthers, Baker, and Sam Darnold. But with the exception of Josh Allen, obviously. But the point is, you know, not everybody gets things right. Not everybody gets things right. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Really hope Lamar can get it together. And if he can, I hope he comes to the Giants and we sign him. I don't mind. I don't think that would ever happen. But at the same time, you know, just hope he knows what he's doing. I'm going to try to make my way to a couple of his games this season. So I just want to see him play with a contract guaranteed like he's supposed to. Showing up on and off the field as a professional as they should, right? So pay the man. Show other people, show young players, show the world this is who we want to give money to. Right? Not having problems off the field, not showing, like show them that too. Don't just show them, cuz everybody just wants to talk about the Deshaun Watson situation, how they gave him all this money. Change the narrative. Show them how you gave all this money to a guy who deserves it. Right? Not saying that Deshaun, come on, you know, stay with me. You know, show them that you could do that too. Show them that you could be the good guy. Nobody's going to have a problem with that, besides the other owners, because then they're going to be kind of grumbling and saying that they got to pay. Listen, the market's moving up. They're getting all this TV money. I don't want to hear it. Pay them. Let's just get on with it, right? Football's back. I'm happy. I hope you guys are too. Don't forget about the NBA, though. I know the NBA is a little ways out, but you know, everybody's jonesing for a little NBA action. You already heard with Pat Bev. Now, he's on the same team with Russell Westbrook with the Lakers. Yeah, the same two that be going back and forth. And you see Russell Westbrook with the Rock and the Baby after he does something crazy on Patrick Beverly. Patrick Beverly's been talking crazy, you know, in the news, you know, but he's also trying to get into media, so it kind of makes sense. Remember what I told you about trying to clickbait, understanding where they're coming from with that. But at the same time, some people are worried about the Lakers. I don't know. I don't think you could really worry about the Lakers when you look at from the top. They're really starting to not only like not just kind of block out the noise from not only the outside, which is very hard to do with the Lakers because they're always being talked about, right? But I mean block out the noise from other voices, because remember that was like their biggest thing with Jeannie Buss, and how there's just so much input. Everybody's got something to say, you know, because everybody has so much invested in the Lakers and their success, and everybody forgets that they just won a ring like a few years ago. Like everybody just wants to go crazy, but it's really not that serious. Everybody can calm down as long as the Lakers are healthy. Patrick Beverley was a big move, and I'm going to tell you it was a smart move. They need defense and discipline. I was going to say the two D's, but some of y'all minds get too crazy. But listen, just stay with me. The Lakers' biggest problem was that they were not disciplined, and they didn't play defense. And then if you want to take it a step further, it's obvious with health and Anthony Davis. Yeah, we get that. That was a freak injury. It happens. if anybody ever, works out and does all these different things physically, injuries happen all the time. It's the nature of the beast. It sucks. Nobody likes it, especially more than him, because he's the one who has to rehab and start after eating right. I mean, you could just, talk crap and then go about your life and have an Oreo. He don't get to do that. You know what I mean? Like, it's, trust me, it's hard on him. It's not easy. So let's just cut it out. At the same time, LeBron James looks better than ever. It's ridiculous. What, he's in his 20th year? Like, it's like the Tom Brady thing. I don't know. I know you have to, your diet's got to be ridiculous. Ridiculous. And not to mention, genetics plays a huge part in that. But at the same time, God bless him, right? As long as they're all committed on the defensive end, they're going to be just fine. They're going to be just fine. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. I'm pretty sure they're not done with a couple more moves. I know they really wanted Kyrie, but you already know where that whole situation was going with the Nets. And come on. Nets apparently going to run it back. I know a lot of people are happy with that. They just picked up Morris. So they're going to be on some bully ball. They got Morris. You have Andre Drummond. You got, Kyrie's going to be there. Ben Simmons is going to be there. KD's going to be there. A lot of people are still stuck on the fact that Ben, whether he's going to shoot or not shoot. Here's the thing. There's only one ball. He don't need to shoot. You're already going to have Kyrie Irving. You're already going to have KD. I mean, you don't need to put so much offense on a team, because after a while, guess what? You're going to need to play defense. Every team in the NBA is capable of putting up a lot of points. Like, if you've been watching basketball for over the last couple of decades, you see the scores at the end of these games. It's crazy, right? They look like back in the day All-Star games. So with that being said, there needs to be more an emphasis on defense, which makes sense why the next best decision for them, when they couldn't get Kyrie, they would just say, okay, we're going to get somebody that's a veteran, somebody who will play their role and won't have an issue with it. If you're just going to be there for defensive purposes, and whenever you're open and if you're reliable, you can shoot the three, shoot the three. Like, that's what you're there for, right? Now, don't get me wrong, that was a good move by the Lakers, and they're still going to figure that out, because will it be some problems? Yeah, of course. If you think Russell Westbrook and Pat Beverly are not going to get after it, I mean, get at it at one point or another, they probably already have. But that's why when I watched the interview with Darvin Ham, I'm like, oh, these guys are solid. I think he was on All the Smoke. If you haven't seen that particular podcast, watch it. But that particular interview that I'm talking about with Darvin Ham, new head coach, I get it. I mean, listen to that brother speak. I'm sorry. He's got leadership qualities just oozing out of him. They're going to learn a thing or two. He's going to hold these guys accountable. And you know what? They're going to hold themselves accountable. LeBron ain't going for it. He's probably going to break the all-time scoring record this year. This year. That, I don't think he's going to let that be spoiled by them not making the playoffs or getting swept in the first round. Nah, or just end up in some play-in tournament. No, I don't think that's going to happen. I think as long as they're solid, they stick to their principles. Anthony Davis, he sticks to his diet, his conditioning, his nutrition. Whatever he did in the offseason to switch it up, to try to make it a little bit more easier for him out there where he's not getting injured and, not having to miss so many games, or maybe trying to figure out where they can load manage him here and there. They're going to be fine. They're going to be fine because they're going to hold each other accountable. And that's the main thing. They need to be disciplined. And you can't be disciplined if you don't hold yourself accountable. That's the main thing. And defense, obviously, that was one of their main issues. I think that in this offseason, they solved not all their problems, but most of their problems to where we shouldn't have a repeat. And if they do, you know what? It happens, right? I mean, what are you going to do? But that's just my take on that. But as for the Nets, them running it back and the drama and everything going on in the off season, what was that all for, right? I don't know, but it was pretty good content and it was pretty funny having those conversations with a lot of people. But other than that, it is what it is, right? They still have Seth Curry, you know, awesome shooter. I think he's very underrated. You're gonna see a lot of good things. Claxton, I saw a lot of good things from him. You're gonna have Brown. They have a lot of nice role players. You have to understand that they were young, still coming into their own, still trying to figure things out. Leadership wasn't great. I still don't know what's going on with the Nash situation. They still haven't said, like, yo, this is our guy. I don't hear Kyrie, KD saying, like, you know what? We came together. We had a meeting. We figured it out. Because at some point, that is awkward. You know, KD being like, I want Sharmar's fire and Steve Nash fire. Now, all of a sudden, he talks to Joe Esai, another meeting. I mean, man, in the offseason, you're supposed to be working on your game and having vacations. All the meetings they had, it's not even going to feel like an offseason for them, but whatevs. As long as it all works out, right? I mean, if they end up deep in the playoffs, this is just going to be a really good story. How they started, right? I mean, Hollywood couldn't have written this any better. If that's what ends up happening. But I think it's going to be a really interesting series. Once this whole thing comes together, you know, it's just actually even called a saga. You know, that's pretty much what I should call it with the Nets organization. And it really makes me think that, you know how the NFL has Hard Knocks? They really need something like that for the NBA. Because imagine if this was on the Nets. Oh, I mean, must-see TV. Come on. You know you'd be watching that. I know I would be. And then talking about it, obviously, but but anyway, but to go back on that Pat Beverly situation, like I said, I think it's going to be good for Lakers. I think it's going to help them in a lot of different ways. They're professionals. I know we like to build up drama and say, how are they going to get along and all this stuff. I mean, if they were a little bit younger, I'd be like, yeah, I see that as a problem. But when they're older, Pat Beverly trying to win a chip, you know, Russell Westbrook trying to do the same thing. You know, you're going to be a little humble after a while. You know, that's the belief. That's the, you know, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. You know, they haven't really given me much of a reason to think any differently. Patrick Beverly, you can say whatever you want with him. He has done a number on those young guys over there in Minnesota. Let's keep it real. Now, they still need a veteran guy over there. Do I think Rudy Gobert is going to be the answer? Nope. I'm not saying that he doesn't make that team better, because obviously he does. But I mean in a way of holding other guys accountable like a Pat Bev would. He's not that guy. He's going to do his thing. He's going to give you, what, maybe 10, 15 points somewhere in that range. And he's going to give you double rebounds. He's definitely going to give you that. He's going to give you some blocks. He's definitely going to, you're going to feel him. He's going to be in that defensive, you know, play of the year category. That's what Rudy Gobert is for. That's what he's going to give you. But holding guys accountable, I don't know. Cat, I like the way he's been growing. It's a little bit slow for me in terms of, like, yo, just bully ball, man. Like, because when he does that, when he gets upset and he plays mad, yo, I love it. I'm like, yo, this guy, like, he's that dude. He should be, like, an MVP conversation when he plays like that. But you get such a small sample size of that, you're kind of just like, man, come on, you know. But for whatever reason, that just doesn't come out of him at times, you know. And the young kids over there, I was like, I don't know, because you do question his maturity at times. And when you throw in a guy like Anthony Edwards, he has a chance to be a real star. I'm telling you this, and even just understanding his work ethic on the offseason, he hasn't really been putting it out there that much, but he did make mention of how hard he's been working. And I like the kid, very personable. You can tell he's going places. He's the face of that franchise, and he's going to take it up another level. I just really wish they had that veteran guy out there to really hold players accountable, because that's gonna be paramount. You do have good role players. You have Anderson, you have Prince, you know, Austin Rivers. But he's not going to it's not going to really be, you know, in there really holding those guys accountable. So I would like to see what the moves these guys are going to make, because you see how the Nets got Morris, and Morris, one of those hold you accountable type of dudes. I was kind of hoping that that was a move that they were going to make, like getting Morris over there, you know, with the Timberwolves, with those guys. But we'll see how it goes. I'm really interested to see what's happening. You know, we got to talk about the Knicks, right? Yeah, we're going to talk about the Knicks and how Danny Ainge. Yeah, it's going to be a long one. Folks, sit back with me. Get comfortable. You know, if pause it if need be. Don't forget to listen. Don't forget to like. Don't forget to subscribe. You know, we're keeping it going, you know, for those of you who still listen. But listen. Yeah, we have Julius Randle. We have his big contract. Did we want to deal him in order to get Donovan Mitchell? Yes, we did. We did. But guess what? People don't want him. Organizations, when you put him on in the trade deal, they're like, no. Is it because he's not talented? Nope. Is it because he's injury prone? Nope. It's because he seems to have this type of attitude where he like plays like an all-star. One season, right? And then the next season, you're like, dude, who are you? Like, what happened? Like, it's like whatever happens in his offseason, it just carries over into the season. And this is not just one time that we're getting this. We've had so many sample sizes, right? We can't even call them samples. No, this is like who you are at this point, right? This has happened with the Lakers. That's why they traded him. It has happened with the Pelicans. But of course, you know, we're the Knicks. We gon' Nick, right? So we pick them up. We give them money. That's what we do. And we just have to sit here inside, because then all of a sudden we're ready to pick them up. Drop them, you know, to another squad, you know, within like, what, three years? You know, and Danny Ainge is like, nope, sorry. We want young players, you know, young, good, non-head case players, right? We want picks as well, and some non-protected picks. And I'm just scratching my head like, listen, I like Donovan Mitchell like the next person. I wanted us to draft him. Y'all wanted to draft Nina Kina. I get it, different organization. Listen, but this is, we, unfortunately, when it comes to history, this is why you need to learn your history so you don't repeat it, right? So we could have had Donovan Mitchell, but that happened. We didn't. Cool. We're here. Now we're here. But it doesn't mean that just because we missed out, it means that we don't need to, like, overdo it. Now, they just paid RJ Barrett. They just extended him 4 years, 100 mil. Cool. RJ Barrett was, like, one of the first players to reach, like, 1,000 points, like, 1,500 rebound, like, something. And that hasn't been done in a long time. Listen, the stats speak for it. Like, we only really bring up stats when it comes into contract play, because that's how you get your money, right? Unless an organization really values your intangibles and you're able to demand a certain type of money and you have the resume to be able to back that up in terms of your input. But we also have Brunson, right? We just paid, like, what, 110 for him? It's like, the Knicks do have a bad habit in overpaying players, and we're just not reaping the benefits of it. Like, it doesn't show up in the win column. Like, we don't get a couple of all-stars out of it, right? Or at least one NBA, all-NBA player, right? Now, the hope is we will get one of those players. Maybe the money will bring it out of them. I don't know. Maybe that's just a New York way. That's what we're thinking. But honestly, when you put it like that, it's all you can do is shake your head, right? All you can do is shake your head and just see how it goes. Because right now in the East, it's crazy in the East. It's hard in the East. Like, as you know, the West used to be notorious for being a killer. It didn't matter where you went. Even the teams that you thought that was like the bottom of the barrel, like, they were still tough. Because even when you're watching deep into the regular season, you watch like at least 5 or 6 through like 12 battle for a playoff spot. Like, and it's a battle, and you're watching guys go all the way up. You have one loss, maybe two other teams win, and you go all the way down. You're not even in it. It's just been that crazy, but it's getting like that in the East. The East is that good, that competitive. And that always happens when you have trades and different things of that nature and guys moving or just drafting well, you know. And you just sit there and you look and you're like, wow, what are the Knicks doing? You know, that's the only problem. I genuinely feel when the Knicks and the Lakers are doing well, it's just better for the NBA, period. Especially, it's just big markets. How are you not going to have them doing well? I mean, just having the new newspaper and the new and just TV just put out how they're bad and then kind of gloss over them like it's not. I can't. It's just too much. So hopefully we can get Donovan Mitchell. They're trying to give up RJ Barrett now. Before, they didn't want to give him up, and now all of a sudden he's in the conversation. That's when desperation kicks in, right? This is what makes negotiating so interesting, because you want to keep holding out, and whoever's the most patient usually wins, right? But the Knicks and their fan base, and not I can't even say the fan base, because really, Leon Rose ain't paying us no mind, you know. You know, Dolan ain't paying us no mind. So I guess whatever pressure, whatever internal pressure is going on, they're feeling the need. Because I'm the type of person, like, if you say you're not trading RJ Barrett, don't trade RJ Barrett. You know, I get in business, things change, but come on now. It's more of a conversation if you got, you know, Brunson, Mitchell, and RJ. Like, come on. Come on, now we talking. Now we talking. You know, we not there, but we talking. But now, anyway, they want to put RJ in the mix with the picks. And who else knows they're trading? I mean, maybe they'd rather trade the one guy instead of trading Obi Toppin and Emmanuel Quickley. I love Emmanuel Quickley and Obi Toppin personally. I mean, I just don't want it to end up one of those mellow situations where we trade away everybody. When we could have just maybe waited it out. Because at the end of the day, we already know Danny Ainge wants these picks. He wants them. He wants what he wants. And he wants a young stud. Like, not just any stud. He wants a young stud that has been proven to just put his head down and go to work. And RJ Barrett is that dude. Likeable, personable. You know, not going to give you any off-the-court stuff. Not going to talk to the fans any type of way. Like... You already know what I'm talking about. You know, Randall wanted to do, like, F you to the fan. Come on, man. New York is rough, man. I know. That's where I'm from. New York is rough. But come on, man. Like, you know better not to talk about your own fan base like that. Just win some games. Yeah, that's how you shut them up. F you ain't gonna shut them up. It's just going to resort in you ending up on the trading block or just you just being a problem or part of the problem. But anyway, now that RJ Barrett's on the table, I'm sure they're probably like, well, you ain't getting the other two. You know, if you want RJ, you're going to take RJ and these picks and be gone. You know, so. But I'm really glad that they gave RJ his money, though. So no matter what happens, that's what he's working with. He worked hard for that. And I know he's going to make that next jump. It would be nice for him to be in the same system. Play around the same guys, same arena. Like, that's the thing with new guys. They don't ever really give them a chance. They just want to throw them somewhere else, a different offense, different coach, new environment. You know, he's still young. It's like, come on. But all you can do is just sit back, watch, and just pray. That's it. If you're a New York fan, you understand that. Like, that's all you can do at this point, because I know a lot of people are just, okay, all that money we just shelled out, and they're going to be like a 12 seed. We get it. I know. Somebody said that on my Facebook page the other day. I get it. The aggravation is real, you know. But honestly, when people put like that stuff like on my page, like, I can't even comment back because I'm a legit fan. So I'm definitely low-key hurt because at the same time, it's like, you're right. But it's like, yo, that hurts. Like, because this is what we do. This is what we do as an organization. This is what we do. We overspend. We never have the talent to back it up. We're always losing. We're always looking for guys to come over here and play. Why? So we can treat them. We already know how we treat our stars here. You know? So it kind of is what it is. And we'll just see what happens when this trade doesn't go through or goes through. That's what we're going to have to do. But Remember I said football starts in 8 days. My season 5, stay tuned. There's going to be announcements coming out. It's coming up soon. I told you my boy Live got an awesome intro. If you haven't heard it yet, I'm going to put out a little something, a little sample for y'all to listen to. But check out his music. He got his new song, new video, Flame. It's out now on YouTube. Check it out. That's my time. Always remember, losses equals life lessons. I'm out. Peace.
This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.